If you have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. You can follow along with me in your Bible or follow along on the screen here in just a moment. For a cold day this morning, for as cold as it is outside, we're going to be talking about an awfully hot subject this morning. So if you have your Bible, flip over to Proverbs chapter 7. It's one of those sermon topics that you come to as we start to preach through the book of Proverbs. We're continuing this series of discovering wisdom in the year 2016. We're trying to find out how we can live lives that are wise instead of unwise. And as we read through the book of Proverbs, this book on wisdom, we find one topic that is spoken of more than any other topic in the rest of the book. And it's strange. You wouldn't think you would find it in the area of wisdom literature. You wouldn't think that that's necessarily the focus that Solomon would have when he's writing the book of Proverbs or these other contributors would write about. But over and over and over again, you see illustrations on sexual immorality. You see stories about those who are engaged in sexual immorality. You see lessons on lust. And you wonder why in this book of wisdom, this book that is so focused on us living the right way, that they would put so much of an emphasis on this one topic. It's not a sermon I like to preach. As a matter of fact, normally I try to open up with something funny or humorous to kind of get everybody laughing a little bit and break the ice. And I try to do that this morning, but there's just really nothing funny to start off with when we start looking at this topic. Any illustration I found was in very poor taste because this is a serious issue that Solomon deals with, and it's a serious issue for us as well. Here's some statistics I found, just starting with this idea of lust or this idea of this sexual influence we have in our country. There are, in this first statistic is from an old study about 10 years ago, so I would imagine the statistic is even higher, but 60% of parents said that they were extremely concerned about the amount of sex on television. Now, I will like to point out that 10 years ago, there was not even as much sex on television as there is now. So I won't do a quick raise of hands, but I would imagine that statistic has increased. The amount of sex on TV is alarming for many parents when they think about their own children. So it doesn't just filter into TV. It doesn't just start with that form of media. The internet has become just a hotbed, almost a detriment to our society because of the amount of sexual activity on a computer screen. 35%, get this, 35% of all internet downloads across the board are related to pornography. 35%. In other words, while you're Googling that latest Pinterest recipe, and then you're seconding that up with, you know, how to get instructions on to fix a leak or something in your house, and you're Googling these things, every time you do those two searches, there's someone else somewhere else Googling one search on pornography. One-third. And you think this is a male problem, right? Well, it's not. Did you know that one-third of all pornography viewers are women? A third of viewers of pornography are women. And so it's not just a male issue, it's a culture issue. And then it's estimated, if that's not enough, and this is a heartbreaking statistic, that anywhere between 30 and 60%, that's a wide range, I know, anywhere between 30 and 60% of all married individuals in the United States will engage in infidelity at some point during their marriage. Let's take the low number on that. Let's pretend like it's the conservative 30%. 3 out of 10 marriages experience infidelity and unfaithfulness. This is an issue not just in the time of Solomon, but this has been an issue throughout human history. One of the reasons why this book on wisdom deals so much with this issue of lust is because in order to live godly, wise lives, we need to examine our own hearts on this particular issue. This particular message is going to strike a nerve, I hope, with all of us. Some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, this doesn't apply to me. I am past that stage in my life. I don't even care about that. I've never dabbled in it. I've never thought anything of it. But you know, you have children and grandchildren. Do you know that the average age of a pornography beginner, someone who starts to look at pornography, is before they're a teenager. It's ridiculous how early it starts. We're seeing younger and younger and younger generations who are looking in to lustful practices on television, the internet, and it will infect their entire lives. This is something that we need to make sure we understand how God wants us to live, how God wants us to function, and how we can live godly lives. In Proverbs chapter 7, we get to a place of a story about seduction. It's a story of a man, a foolish man, we learn very quickly, who is battling and dealing with this particular temptation. And there's not necessarily a corrective end to it other than watch out and live wise. Read with me, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, "At the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the inexperienced, I noticed among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Crossing the street near her corner, he strolled down the road to her house at twilight in the evening, in the dark of the night. A woman came to meet him dressed like a prostitute, having a hidden agenda. She is loud and defiant. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the square, she lurks at every corner. She grabs him and kisses him. She brazenly says to him, 'I've made fellowship offerings. Today I've fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you, to search for you, and I found you. I've spread coverings on my bed, richly colored linen from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of lovemaking until morning. Let's feast on each other's love. My husband isn't home. He went on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him and will come home at the time of the full moon.' She seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures with her flattering talk. He follows her impulsively, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bounding toward a trap until an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a snare. He doesn't know it will cost him his life. Now listen, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside from her way to her ways. Don't stray onto her paths, for she has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her house is the road to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death." This is just one passage of many dealing with this topic in the book of Proverbs. If you start to read the book of Proverbs and you read all 31 chapters, you will see almost every chapter has a verse or a topic or an issue having to deal with this issue of lust and seduction. Now, we're going to define lust this way because lust can be many different things. Lust can simply mean wanting something you don't have. Lust can be after a material object. Lust can be after something that you yearn for, that you would like, that you can't have, that's out of your reach. But we're going to define lust for the purpose of Proverbs study this morning as being a sexual desire, something you want to fulfill sexually. I realized this morning that we could branch this application out many ways. But it's important for us to realize specifically that there is a battle going on in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own culture, and in our own country. And it specifically has to do with this definition of lust. So I want to look at how lust ultimately destroys this morning, this particular type of sexual lust. And it begins, if you have your bulletin or are following along, it begins with this: lust appeals to our basic desires. Lust appeals to our basic desires. In other words, lust is something we really want. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, it is something that we naturally gravitate towards. Let's contrast this with wisdom. Last week we talked about wisdom, and wisdom was not something that we happened to fall into. Wisdom was not something that just came or we were born with. Wisdom was a choice. We choose to live godly, wise lives. We can't accidentally become a wise individual. We must make the decision to follow God's word and God's ways. Lust, on the other hand, is easy. Lust is where we just naturally sink into. If we were left up to our own devices, we would gravitate toward this idea of lust. We see how easy this young man fell into lust in Proverbs chapter 7. When verse 15 through 18, it tells us, the woman says, I came out to meet you, to search for you. The man is not looking for the woman. The woman is looking for the man. She says, I've found you. I've spread coverings on my bed, richly colored linen from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of lovemaking until morning. Let's feast on each other's love. These are all pleasant, erotic, but pleasantly appealing ideas. Now, if this was a husband and a wife, if this was a husband propositioning his wife or a wife coming to her husband, you would look and you would say, this is a romantic scene that should be kept, you know, between these two people, maybe not written down in the book of Proverbs, but certainly an appealing scenario, right? This is a romantic, listen, I've prepared everything and I'm ready for you. I've laid out these good-smelling spices and I've set the mood. And now let's take in lovemaking until the morning. It's this wonderful idea between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. By the way, if you want to see the biblical picture of this, not the lustful, read the book of Song of Solomon. I tell you what, if you want to blush, if you want to be embarrassed, forget about these verses. Read the Song of Solomon. There's some imagery in there that you think, you can't make a movie out of that unless it's X-rated. I mean, it's pretty crazy what's in there. Because between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman who are married, this type of intimacy is not only pleasant, it's expected. It's what the ideal is, what God created men and women in the context of marriage to enjoy. But here, this is not a man and a woman who are married. This woman's husband is gone off, and lust seeks out the man. Now, you could put yourself in the situation, whether you're male or female. Lust seeks out the individual. We see that this is something pleasant and appealing, something desirable. Down in verse 22, we see his reaction to all of this enticement. It says in verse 22, he follows her impulsively. In other words, he doesn't have to think about it. It's not as if he's contemplating and weighing the options. I could stay at home and do what God wants me to do, or I could, you know, have this time with this woman tonight. Her husband would never know, and sure, it would be great. But there's not this debate back and forth. He just goes. He just follows her impulsively. We'd be really careful with sexual immorality and lust. We have to be really careful with how we let this impact our own lives and impact our own understanding of how we should live. Because if we don't consciously decide to live godly, upright lives, we will fall. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer or how strong you are in the faith. Lust ultimately appeals to our basic desires. It's what we ultimately want. It's what our own flesh would lean towards. And that leads us to the next understanding of lust, and that is it cannot easily be avoided. It's not as if we can just close our eyes. Have you ever walked through a shopping mall? I know, husbands, you've experienced this before. You're walking with your wife through a shopping mall, and everything's fine. There's Barnes & Noble. There's, you know, Sears or Macy's. There's this department store, this clothing store, and then you get to the one store where husbands don't know how to walk. You know, it's the Victoria's Secret store, right? And so you're walking past it, and husbands begin walking like this. You know, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. You know, and you're running into stuff. And no lie, there was one time I watched, Hannah and I were watching this young boy and this father, and this little boy must have been, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years old. And he's walking, and they pass Victoria's Secret, and I couldn't help but watch this little boy. His eyes just followed, and his dad was not watching the little boy either. His eyes were following too. And the little boy ran smack into one of the signs sitting out in front of the store. I mean, just leveled him flat on his butt, you know. And the dad's trying to figure, what happened? He wasn't paying attention. He was looking at Victoria's Secret store, you know. We experience this just walking through the mall. You flip through the channels. Just last night, we were flipping through channels, and we couldn't find anything good on TV, and so I stop, and I go to put the remote down, but the guide's still on, and I won't even say what the title that it stopped on. Okay, I stopped through, and Hannah looked at me, and she's like, you're not thinking of watching that. No, I'm just putting the remote down, you know. You can't even turn on the TV. Listen, lust cannot easily be avoided. It's around us in our culture. It's around us in what we look for and what we desire. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Proverbs 7:10 that the woman is looking for the man. A woman came to meet him dressed as a prostitute. And she has this hidden agenda. She's out searching. Verses 12 and 13, it says, she's in the streets, she's in the squares, she lurks at every corner. And if you could, by chance, avoid the streets and the squares in every corner, if you can turn your head to the opposite direction, if you can keep yourself from being focused on the things you're not supposed to be focused on, it gets worse, because even if he's not looking for her, she reaches out, grabs him, and kisses him. Says in verse 21, she seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering and talk. She's persistent and she continues, and it doesn't go away. There's never a time in our lives where we can sit back and go, I've mastered sin in my life. I've overcome and I'm done. I've made it and I'm complete. You see, this particular sin, any sin, but this particular sin is one that constantly bombards us in our culture, in our heart, from the inside, from the out. It cannot easily be avoided. That does not mean we should not try. Husbands, can I tell you, when you walk past that store in the mall, look directly at your wife the entire time you're walking, okay? She'll know what you're doing. She'll laugh. She'll make fun of you. Do it anyways, okay? Grab her hand and just stare at her and walk into a sign if you need to. Pay attention to your spouse. When something comes on TV or a movie that's inappropriate and you realize I should not be watching this, take the 5 minutes, the 5 seconds, however long it takes to close your eyes and just stop watching for the moment. There are plenty of good movies out there with smut. I like the movies. Close your eyes for the parts that you know would affect your relationship with your current or future spouse if you're not quite married. Spend some time doing your best to avoid this type of sin. But realize it will constantly, constantly be a battle. It cannot easily be avoided. It's something we always have to be on guard for. By the way, that's why we must fight to protect ourselves. That's why we must do everything in our power to control our own basic desires. We have to be on the offensive and cannot simply be on the defensive. It's not just with what we're taking in, it's what our children are taking in. It's what our grandchildren are taking in. It's what those who are unbelievers who are around us are taking in. I get embarrassed sometimes by Christian friends of mine on Facebook and the things that they post. I think your wife has to be so embarrassed, or your husband has to feel so humiliated just simply by a quick post on Facebook. It's so small and so subtle that lust invades our culture and it invades our mind. And every sin is equally dangerous. Every sin ultimately leads us to separation from God. But our last point, and we have to understand this, is that lust is ultimately murderous. Lust is ultimately murderous. Let me be very clear. All sin separates us from God. There is not a sin that does not leave us dead before our God. It doesn't leave us wanting a relationship with Him. All sin leads us running from a relationship with us. It leaves us in a place of condemnation. All sin means we are dead to God and we need a new life. But lust in particularly has murderous qualities. It's not just a passive dying, but it slays us in many different ways. That's why we read verses like in verse 22. It says he follows her impulsively. How? Like an ox going to the slaughter. Like a deer bounding toward a trap in verse 23. He's bounding toward a trap until an arrow pierces its liver. Like a bird darting into a snare. It doesn't know it will cost him his life. The last two verses in our passage, verses 26 and 27, reminds us that she has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her house is a road to Sheol or hell, descending to the chambers of death. Ultimately, lust murders. And it doesn't just murder us. The problem with this sin is it murders families. It murders children. It murders marriages. I don't know how many divorces. I do know how many divorces. I looked up the statistic. But I don't know how many people, countless people, have come to me and shared with me, my struggle with my marriage is because of infidelity, is because of pornography, is because of an unsatisfied lust. They say 50% of marriages end in divorce. I don't know if that's an accurate statistic or not. But over 50% of those that end in divorce are because of marital unfaithfulness, pornography, or some other lust issue. Over half of all divorces have this at their root. Lust murders family. At the heart of it, at the basic root of it, it's this desire to please ourselves as opposed to please our spouse. It's this desire for us to get instead of to give. And ultimately, lust and this evil desire, as written in Proverbs chapter 7, kills and slays homes and families. It is impossible for our marriages to be fully healthy, what they're supposed to be, if we let this root in us. For those who are not married yet, too young, or maybe just haven't entered into that time of life, know that there's a pattern that starts now. There's a pattern that begins at this moment that will define your future marriage. It will come to a point where you have become either a person who is after your own basic desires or one who is set to be wise in the ways that God leads you. This right now is a time that we decide. This is a very difficult message for many, many people to hear. Mostly because of this. Mostly because we understand we all have a past. Again, I don't want to raise a hand. I just want an internal question to ask you, an answer in your own mind. How many of you can admit that at some point in your life, whether you're married, unmarried, formerly married, whatever it may be, how many of you all can admit that this has been a struggle at some point? Maybe an ongoing struggle for many of you. Now, this is a difficult message because while I'm not asking for a raise of hands, I know that it's a struggle for all people. As a matter of fact, I like the statistic that James Dobson has with Focus on the Family. He says 9 out of 10 people struggle with this topic. 9 out of 10 struggle and the other 10% are liars. You know, I think that that's true. This is something that impacts all of us. And so we hear this message and at our root we sit here and we say, I know that's me. I want to make you a promise this morning. God is far less concerned about what you have done and far more concerned with what you're going to do today. He does not care. I take that back. He is burdened and brokenhearted. But He does not hold against you your past when you are in Christ. All of that is wiped away. It's forgotten and abandoned. The history that you've gone through is something that can completely and totally be wiped clean, whiter than snow. And yet, He is concerned with the decision we make right now, right here, today. Will we choose to live godly lives, lives full of wisdom, lives that say, I will choose to follow the way that God has for me, lives that say, I will save my relation, my sexual relationship for my husband or my wife, that says, I will practice abstinence and purity before marriage and outside of marriage. I will stay faithful. I will not let lust continue to attack me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8 tells us God has not called us to impurity, but to sanctification or holiness. Therefore, the person who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also gives you His Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Thessalonians that this very idea is something that keeps so many people from embracing the cross of Christ. There's so many people who would rather root their actions in what a man desires than understand how the Holy Spirit calls us to live. Maybe this morning, this particular issue is keeping you from completely letting go and being free in Christ. This particular issue is keeping you from knowing who Jesus Christ is, because it's something you just don't feel like you can give up. It's something you don't feel like you can overcome. And it's something you feel like today on Sunday afternoon you will conquer, but tomorrow when Monday comes, it will be a struggle again. This morning, I want us to know that we don't have to be a part of this story of seduction. We don't have to give in. We can make the choice to live godly, wise lives. Lives that say, in my marriage relationship, I will enjoy all that God has blessed us with. And outside of that relationship, I will live a pure, godly, and holy life. I will turn my eyes away from things I should not see. I will close my ears and my heart off to things that should not be in my life. And I will be on the offensive when it comes to lust. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I want us to all examine our hearts and realize this is not the message you were wanting to hear this morning, but maybe the message you were needing to hear. That God has something so much better for us than our own basic fleshly desires. That there is complete forgiveness in our past when we embrace the forgiveness of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that this morning our past can be made clean when we seek Him for forgiveness and we turn to Him to lead and guide our lives. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we come before You and we realize that this is a touchy subject, a difficult thing for us to hear because, one, Lord, it's icky and uncomfortable. But two, Lord, it's one of these things that every individual has struggled with. And Lord, according to research, most people still do. Lord, we pray this morning for hearts to be changed. We realize actions are hard to overcome. But if we begin by changing our heart and choosing to live according to Your word, according to Your purity, Lord, it's when we change our heart that our actions will begin to change. Father, I ask this morning that You would cleanse us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would come to You seeking full forgiveness and knowing that Your life ahead of us is so much better than our life behind. Lord, we pray for forgiveness this morning and we pray for healing. Lord, we pray for marriages who are struggling with this particular issue right here, right now. Lord, maybe it's not even known to both parties of the marriage. Maybe it's just a husband who's struggling, who needs to get things right for his wife. Maybe it's a wife who is struggling with this lust or infidelity that needs to make things right with her husband. Maybe, Lord, today it's a marriage that needs to be repaired through Your blood. Lord, this morning I pray that You would show us that we can choose to make wise decisions and put ourselves in positions to follow You and honor others. Lord, forgive us where we fail You, but thank You for the blessing of Jesus Christ and His salvation. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.